Today's share in the Deir Shu Mishneh Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Ayin Gimel Omid Aleph. In the third volume of Mishneh Berurah, we began Simen Shin Lamed Aleph the other day, dealing with the halachos of Bris Milah on Shabbos. We're at the very last line of Kuf Ayin Beis Omid Beis with Sif Hei. The Mechaber tells us an androgynous, a person who is both male and female genitalia. As the Mishneh Berurah explains in Sif Katan Yud Gimel, who yelled, it's a child, Sheish Lo Zachris, has male genitalia, Kizocha, like a male, the Nakvus, and his female genitalia, Kinekeva, like a woman. And this is brought down from the Rambam in Hilchos Milah. So, such a child that's born, the Nolad Bein HaShmashos, and likewise a child that's born Bein HaShmashos, and the Mishneh Berurah explains Sif Katan Yud Dalet. This is true whether it was born Friday afternoon, Ben HaShmashos, or Shabbos night, Ben HaShmashos. Ben HaShmashos, there of Shabbos, Ben HaShmashos, the Motzi Shabbos. In both of them, the situation is the same. We're not sure if it's a Friday baby or Shabbos baby, or you're not sure if it's a Sunday baby or a Shabbos baby. Bishneim, in all of these situations, Ein Miloson Doche Shabbos, V'nitchel Yom Rishon. In both situations, the Bris Milah is pushed off and not done the following Shabbos. The Nidchel Yom Rishon, and you can't do it on Shabbos, you therefore will do it on Sunday. So if it's between Friday and Shabbos, you can't do it Friday because it may be too early. You can't do it Shabbos because it's not a Vaday, eighth day, so you do it Sunday. Similarly, if it's Shabbos, Sunday, question. So you can't do it Shabbos, so you have to do it on Sunday. A Sunday, you can do it because Mimanu Shach, it's either Shabbos or Sunday baby, so in that situation, you do it on Sunday. Umahu Bein HaShmashos. How do we define the Bein HaShmashos? So this is a discussion we've had in great detail in earlier Simonim. And the Mishneh Berurah quickly goes over some of it over here. He says, Yesh Omrim. There is an opinion that says the Korav L'Rav Hashah, it's a little bit under a quarter of an hour. And we're talking here obviously about Shos Manios, halachic hours. And we discuss this in great detail. Chem B'Yarnu L'El B'Simen Reish Samach Aleph in Debir Halacha, Dibra Maskul Shehu, Ayin Sham, where we discuss this opinion. So for argument's sake, it's about three quarters of an 18-minute span of time, and others say it's three quarters of a 24-minute span of time. In any event, this would be somewhere about 13.5 minutes in a classical 18-minute per meal walking situation, which is how we derive some of these shiurim. So this would be kodem liyitzias gimel kochavim, before the advent of three stars, so Beinon and middle-sized stars, and then it would be at that point heavy Suffolk Lila. Or via Shah Yotze Miklal Suffolk, and beyond that period of time, then it's definitely not a Suffolk if it was born before then. Vimnolat Oz Bishabis, and if the child is born Vaday on Shabbos, Mononosol Shabbos above, then you certainly can do the Bris Milah on the following Shabbos. The issue footnote number 11 brings down various shiurim for this in Eretz Yisrael, according to the Chazon Ish. He says a child born 35 minutes after the Shkia, whether this is in the winter or the summer, is definitely considered after the Tzeis HaKochavim is born at night. And Shlomo Zalman Zatzal says that if you do it before 17 minutes, it's definitely the Bein HaShmashos period of time. And he says the minhag is to wait at least 25 minutes after the Shkia before you can call it Vaday Laila. Now, that's one opinion. The Mishneh Berurah continues. It says, Avo kama poskim achmirim b'zeh. They hold, like the other opinion, usfiru lehu d'me'es sh'niskasa hachama me'enenu, from the time of sunset, ad yitzias gimel kochavim be'enonim, until three middle-sized stars come out. The whole thing, hu akol b'chlal bein hashmashos, that entire period of time is called the bein hashmashos period of time. And this is brought down as well, v'ken kosav abirki Yosef, the Chidor writes over there, nispashi ken amina b'chol ori Eretz Yisrael, this was the minhag in Eretz Yisrael, and v'ken kosav b'sefer zecholi Abram, b'sefer sefer zman, and these poskim also hold that way, and he says, v'afilu m'sofik lo'im nolat kodem bein hashmashos, o b'zman bein hashmashos, and the same would be true, if the child possibly was a sofik, did he get born before the bein hashmashos, or during the bein hashmashos, so then gam ken pasik or advaz, lahach mir denitchel yom rishon. So you're not even sure, was he born in the Bein HaShmashos on Friday afternoon, for example. So it could have been born on Friday, or it could have been born on the Bein HaShmashos period of time, which is a Sofik, Friday or Shabbos. In that situation as well, the Radvaz brings down, you don't do the Milah on Shabbos, you do the Milah the following Sunday. Further discussed in the Bir Halacha Ayin Sham, Dibra Maskel Bein HaShmashos. The third description over here that the Mechaber is going to give us, besides the androgynous and the Sofek Bein HaShmashos Friday Shabbos or Shabbos Sunday, is V'nolad Kishehu Mol, a child that's born already circumcised. And the fourth description over here is V'yotzi Dofen, a child that's born from a cesarean section. It's seen the Ber Hagola, Pirush, Havlat HaYotze Me'aisha, Shepaskul Bitna. This is based on Rashi in the Gemara, where the description of a cesarean section was that the child's taken out through the stomach of the mother rather than through the normal vaginal canal. Finally, the fifth one is Vodedes Kochov Mshioldo Ve'achakach Nisgaira, a non-Jewish woman who gave birth to a baby and then was Nisgaira afterwards. So this baby also here is not going to be the Bris Milah Docha Shabbos, even though it will be the eighth day for such a baby. And the final description that the Mechaber is giving us over here is Mishiesh Lo Shtei Arolos, if somebody's born with two Orlas. We'll see in a moment what that means in the Mishnah Berurah. In all of these six situations over here, Ein Miloson Docha Shabbos. None of these are allowed to have the Bris Milah performed on Shabbos. So now let's look inside some of these a little bit more. Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Tesvav explains the Nolad Kishumol, a child that's born circumcised already. Pirish, what does this mean? The Mishnah Berurah says, Shafilu below Kishoy Niremo. Even when the child's not in the erect state, when the gid of the person is in a flaccid state, nevertheless, the child has the appearance of having no orla. So in this situation, that's considered a child that's born mole. However, if it's only in the situation, avol kishein near a mole, rak kishi iskashe, if the child only looks uncircumcised, only in the erect state, so then that is a bris milah that is docha Shabbos, miloso docha Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot and Tezayin what is a C-section, a Yotzei Dofen. So he says, Senishkasha imo b'leidah. So the example would be that the mother unfortunately had very great difficulty in labor and wasn't able to get the child out regularly, and therefore they had to go and remove the child, Votsiu li'orech habeten aide sam. And they would go through medicating the mother, remove the baby from the mother's belly. Today we do this all the time. C-section rates in the United States range between probably 25% and 40%, so this is a very, very common procedure. And a child that is born with a C-section on Shabbos, so you're forbidden to do the Bris Milah the following Shabbos, even though that's the eighth day. The issue footnote number 17 brings down from Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, Shemakoruhu b'Rashi, as we just mentioned in the Bir HaGola, the source for this idea is from Rashi about a C-section, Shekasu shenidduchu me'el ayde sam, that they somehow opened up the mother using various medications over here, v'kavanaso shegam hatzaz havlad hoysederech ha-pesach shelvimna, and they would extract the child through the opening that they created in the mother's stomach, again, what we would call a cesarean section. Nowadays, Chazon Ish says, where cesarean sections are quite common, sheish lahazir esam molim shlo yimolu osam b'Shabbos. One has to make sure that the molim are aware that when a parent comes in and says, our child was born last Shabbos, so the Bris Milah is this coming Shabbos, so one of the questions that has to be asked is, of course, was it through a cesarean section? Incidentally, there's a big machlokas in the post, which we won't go through it all right now. What about a child that's born through other artificial means? In other words, there was in vitro fertilization or all sorts of other manipulations to allow the pregnancy to occur. So there are great poskim that say that that milah is also not docha Shabbos, even though if the child is born in the normal fashion, not through a cesarean section. And this is a subject that we can't discuss further at this point in time. Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot Yud Zayin explains what is the example that the Mechaber gave us of a child born with shtei arolos. So there are two explanations over there. The first one, which is brought down by Rashi and the Gemara, as you can see in Os Ches in the Shaar HaTzion, it's also the opinion of the Rambam, is that the child was born with shnei gidim. There actually are two gidim over here, the two penises that the child was born with. The Yesh Omrim, an alternative opinion, is sheish bo shtei oros, Zal Gav Zeh. There are two foreskins, one on top of the other. That's the second opinion, as we can see in Shaar HaTzion, Os Tes, that's brought down by Rashi and the Gemara. So in all of these situations, the Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot and Yud Ches, Ein Miloson Docha Shabbos. None of these push aside Shabbos, even though it's the eighth day. The Mishnah Berurah explains that Tam Kolela, the underlying reason for all six of these scenarios is the same. Hu Mishum Sofik, because in each situation, there's a Sofik over here. For example, Kagon, Gabi Androgynous, the child that's born with both male and female genitalia, it's not clear that it's a boy. Mishum De'eno Zachavade, it may not be a boy, and therefore there may not be a Chi of a Mila, it's only a Sofik. In the case of, we're not sure it's a Friday or a Shabbos birth, or a Shabbos or a Sunday birth, Shem Hu Shalom Bizmane, and it's not a Bris Bizmane, not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Likewise, Venolat Kishumol, the child that's born already circumcised, it's possible, Efshod, the Lekka Kan Orlo Kivusha, that there is no Orlo over here at all. Hu Mol Mamish, and the child is really born Mol, and therefore there is no Chiv to do a Bris Mila, and any Chituch that you do is a Chavola and is not permitted. The issue footnote number 19 brings down v'im nolad mol ubetok shmoni yom niskasas ha'torah be'arla. If the child seemed to have been born in an already circumcised state, but then during the first week of life, the child clearly is circumcised. So the Rosh Shlomo Zalman Zatzal says in this situation, even if it's totally niskasa, ain li mol b'Shabbos, you don't do this bris milah on Shabbos. Mishmeru continues and he says, "V'chei mishi yesh lo shtei arolos." If you have the child that's born with the two arolos, the haynu shnei gidim. The first opinion is that there are two actual gidim over here. Hunami, the reason it's a suffix, mishum de'ein oni yodim eza arlo yikoros. We don't know which one is the real one, and the other one that you're going to remove is not necessary, and therefore is not allowed to be removed on Shabbos. And according to the second svar, the svar obeys the ma'ir b'shtei arolos al gavzeh. According to the second opinion in Rashi, that it's one orla on top of another orla, nami taimed the ain on yodim kavanas haTorah b'zeh. We also don't know which one is the real orla, and if there's only one of the two that's the real orla, the other one that you're going to be cutting is an isser, and therefore al suffik, we don't do any of these on Shabbos. Finally, what's the problem with the cesarean section? Chutz miyotzei dofen de'eino yehudis shiolda. In these two scenarios, where you have the cesarean section, or the child that was born to a non-Jewish mother who then converted, so Hasam hatam mishum de'ein tmeim b'tumas leida. Here, the reason is different. It's not because of a suffix. We know exactly that this child should have the bris milah on the eighth day from its birth. We have no doubt when that is. But here, there was never a tumas leida because the non-Jewish woman, when she gave birth, didn't have tumas leida. And the yotzi dofen, since it came out through the stomach and not through the normal route, is also not considered tumas leida. And therefore, lakama tanoi bo'inan kiseidah omer b'parshat Tzriah. And according to most of the Tanayim, you need to have the order that it's found in Parshas Tzriah. That it says, Isha ki Tzriah v'yoldo zachar. The Isha ki shi tmeya leida, the non nimo l'shmona only. If the child is born through the normal vaginal canal, will that generate this tumas leida? And in only that situation is the rechiv to go bimal on the eighth day, and it's docha Shabbos. Now we go to Sivvav in the Mechaber. Mechaber says, Machshiri Mila She'evshar La'asos Miyarev Shabbos Einan Docha B'sa Shabbos. This is a very important idea that's discussed in the Perek Shabbos with Leitz of the Mila, where he talks, the Rebbe Lezer says, all of these Machshirim can be done on Shabbos, but we don't paskin that way. We paskin that any Machshirim, any preparations that can be done before Shabbos starts are not allowed to be done on Shabbos. So much so that the Mechaber tells us over here, and if it was something that should and could have been done on Erev Shabbos, then in this situation, we're on Shabbos. This was not done, so you're not allowed to go and do it on Shabbos, even though now the Mila will not be Bismana. And that's what the Mechaber tells us. Lefikoch, im lo hevi izemel. If a person, for example, did not bring the Mila knife, the izemel, the scalpel, lemila me'erev Shabbos, to do the bris Mila, he didn't bring it on Erev Shabbos, so you're not allowed to go bring it on Shabbos. Lo yivienu b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to go and bring it through a rishus that would be carrying on Shabbos. Afilu b'mokum shein bo ela isad rabbanan. Even if this is only going to be an isad rabbanan, you're not bringing it from a real rishus harabim into the rishus hayochid, but you're just bringing it from a carmelis into a rishus hayochid, which is only an isad rabbanan. Nevertheless, the rabbis would go over here, shemidu chachomim divrei b'mokum koris. The rabbi said over here that even though it's only an isad rabbanan over here that you're transgressing, nevertheless, the rabbi said, we are going to maintain our isad rabbanan, even though, by not doing a circumcision, you're chayiv kares. Nevertheless, hemidu chacham divreim, in this situation, to insist that the prohibition, the rabbanon, be maintained, even though it's going to lead to not doing the bris milah on Shabbos. Let's look now at the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Yutes, where he discusses, what do you do with the izemel after you've done the bris milah on Shabbos? Le'inyon tiltul ho'izemel achar milah, in regards to moving the izemel on Shabbos, the scalpel that you use to do the bris milah after the bris milah is done. So this is discussed. He says, Ayin le'el b'simin shin yud, sif katan tesvav, in Mishnah Berurah over there, masha kosav nusham. And the issue footnote number 21 brings down the taz over there that says, it is forbidden to move the izemel after the bris milah. And he says, Shekivan Shemakbidim Shelo Lishtamis Boludover Acher, since the izemel is some specialized implement that you don't want to use to cut anything else because you could get a blemish in the knife, you could ruin it in some way, get a nick, and you don't want to do that. It's considered Muktzomach Maschisaron Kis, and something that's Muktzomach Maschisaron Kis is not allowed to be moved for any reason. He points out that one could argue that Ein Muktzeh L'Chatzi Shabbos, and one could argue that at the beginning of Shabbos it was designated to do the Bris Milah, but he points out that Bein HaShmashos, it wasn't really designated to do the Bris Milah, and that therefore at the start of Shabbos it was really considered Muktzeh, and therefore you're only allowed to use it on Shabbos for the Bris Milah, and the minute the Bris Milah is done, you have to put it down. Yesh L'Hatzniyah So'izemel B'cheder Shebohumo, and you go and put it down in the room that you did the Bris Milah. He brings down from the Morgan Avram, Sheish Lahachmir Li Achor Bish Shalola Niach Eso Izemel El Yashiro So Biyodo Achi Yimotzi Lo Mokum Lishmor Oso. If you want to make sure that you put the Izemel in a safe place, it won't get stolen, won't get ruined, it won't hurt somebody, so you are allowed to hold it after you do the Bris Milah until you put it down. But once you put it down, that's it. It brings down, however, from the El Yoraba that in a situation where it may be dangerous over there or it may be stolen, so then he brings down that you can rely upon the more lenient opinions that say you can still move the Zemel after the Bris Milah. There's another minhag that he brings down over here that the father of the child to be mauled will give the knife to the Moel, give the Zemel to the Moel, and ask him to be his Shaliach in doing the Bris Milah. So is the father allowed to touch and move the Zemel? He's not doing the Bris Milah. So there are poskim he brings down over here that say, no, the father should not do this. However, he brings down from other poskim as well that this is a kashra minig that we do all the time, and therefore you can do this on Shabbos as well. Shekach hi haregilus b'chol. This is the way it's normally done, so you can do it in the same fashion on Shabbos as well. The issue footnote number 20 brings down, what about moving the Orla itself? There's a minhag to bury the Orla in the ground. So the Shelos Shuvas No to be Yehuda brings down, L'chadchila lil yanichena miyado kodem shitin oso beofer. You shouldn't put the Orla down and then pick it up and then put it in the ground, but you should put it straight into the dirt that you're going to put it into. But if you did put it down, he says there's room to be mako to still put it into the dirt. He then brings down from Ravaz's Atzal, the Shevet Alevi, who adds, Sha'afa no'agim la'hafokas ha'orla. There are those that have the opinion that they would invert the orla some way, and this would be somehow a skula for the child. He says they're also allowed to do this on Shabbos as well. Because they had this in mind, that it wasn't yet mukza until they actually put it into the ground, or into the dirt. Mechaber continues and he writes, "V'lo marli eino Yehudi lasosum to tell a non-Jewish person to go and do these activities." So the Mechaber says, "Im hudaver she'im oso Yisrael." If the action that you're asking the non-Jewish person to do for you on Shabbos would only be an Issa d'Rabbanan if it was done by a Yid, then he says, Omer le'enu Yehudi v'yosei, you're allowed to tell the non-Jewish person to do this. However, v'imudavar sh'asol Yisrael asosu min ha-Torah, but if it would be something that if the Jewish person did it would be an Issa d'Raisa, so then lo yomar le'enu Yehudi lasosu, then you're not allowed to tell the non-Jewish person over here to do it for you on Shabbos. And the Ramah adds, go look in Simon Shin Zayin for additional details about this halacha. Mishbur explains in Sivkot and Chof why you're allowed to tell a non-Jewish person to do an Issa d'Rabbanan over here, because it's called the heavy Shvus d'Shvus Mivakum Mitzvah Shari. Since you're telling the Nachri is only a Shvus, and he's only doing a Shvus, so b'Mivakum Mitzvah, in the setting of doing the Mitzvah, you're allowed to do this, as we've already learned in Simon Shin Zayin Sefei, which is what the Ramah alluded to. Nevertheless, Mishbur says, "Mikol Makom Asur Lahavi Atinok Lebeis HaKnesses Derech Chatzar." You can't bring the child to the shul. She'ena Morevis, if you're going through an area that doesn't have an area around it, afilu in this situation, you can't even ask a non-Jewish person to do this, even though it's only an Issa d'Rabbanan. Because there's no reason to have to do this. You can mild the child in his house. And in fact, they used to do bris milas in the house because it was cold, and therefore they would not want to take the baby out. If you have to go take the baby out to go to the courtyard where there is no Erev, so in this situation, then you can have a non-Jewish person carry the baby out, keeping the lek Rishus HaRabim. He brings that from the Magen of Rabim. It's not a real Rishus HaRabim. It's only over in Issa d'Rabbanan, and then this is Shvus to Shvus B'Makom Mitzvah. However, Mikom Makom Tov Yoser, in this situation, would be preferable. Lahavi Ha'izemel, Ayideh Eino Yehudi Latino, go bring the scalpel, the Izemel, to the house where the child is. Because in this situation, Dim Yavi Yatino Kelo Izemel, if you have to bring the child to the Izemel, you're going to have to do it again. Yetzorach Acher Mil Lahater, Od Hapam Shvus to Shvus, Lahach Zikatino Ketzolem. You have to bring the child there, and then you'd have to bring the child back to get it back to his mother. As opposed to if you just bring the Izemel to the house, it's only one time. Masha Enkein, Kishiyavi Ha'izemel, Latino, Yanichenesham Arach HaShabbos. He brings down the name of the Machzitz HaShekel. It's therefore only one transgression that you have to get involved with rather than two. And he says, Ayin and Simon Shin Mem Tes, Masha Kosav Ben Bozeh, where additional details will be added. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll get to that in a few weeks. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Chof Aleph says, the Gam Amiru Le'enu Yehudi, B'Dovah She'asu Min HaTorah, Hevi Kishar Shvus, that we don't allow you to go tell the non-Jewish person to do something which if a Jew did it would be an Issa D'Raisa, Ve'amidu Chachomin Devarim Chanal. As we have already pointed out, the rabbis were very strict about this and didn't let you transgress this. Sivkot and Chav Beis, he tells us what the Ramah says, go look in Shin Zayin. So Siv Hei in the Hagah over there, the Ramah says, the Shom Hevi, the Ramah, the Yesh Mekilin. The Ramah says that there are more Mekil opinions than allow you to ask a non-Jewish person to do a Melacha D'Raisa. Afilu B'Melacha D'Raisa, Lomar Leinu Yudu B'Mokum Mitzvah, that you would be allowed to do over here, not only Shvus to Shvus B'Mokum Mitzvah, but even asking a non-Jewish person doing this a D'Raisa for you, the Ramah brings down this more lenient opinion, to be allowed to do the Milah on Shabbos in this situation. Even though most argue with the Ramah, and we paskin like those that argue with the Ramah, as we wrote over there, nevertheless, in regards to a bris milah, which is such an important mitzvah, the Mishnah Berurah brings down hamekel v'somech al debreim. If somebody takes a lenient opinion over here of the Rama and relies upon it, lo hivsid, he will not have lost out. Im ef shabinyan acher, as long as there was no other way to do this, and this is the only way that you'd be able to do the bris milah bismana. And certainly when you're dealing over here with carrying, bringing something in or bringing something out, and one rishus to the other, the laharbi poskim ain't lona bismanazir rishus harabim, where there certainly isn't a rishus harabim nowadays, according to many poskim, so certainly you can rely upon this because it's really shvus to shvus. And he says this is further discussed in greater detail in the Bir Halacha, but we've run out of time for today, so we will conclude the share.